This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. For better or worse, actually really just for the worse, the situation that we're having in global banking right now with Credit Suisse and Signature and mostly Silicon Valley Bank has resurrected some of those financial crisis era buzzwords we really, really were hoping we wouldn't have to use again. Words like bailout and emergency lending facilities and credit default swaps. Another one of those oh-no phrases you probably heard a time or two over the past week? Moral hazard. We know you probably remember what that is, but just in case it comes up in conversation, here's Marketplace's Matt Levin.
Honestly, you're not going to get a better example of moral hazard than this clip from Seinfeld. Just to set it up, a car rental company didn't have the midsize sedan Jerry had booked.
So you know how to take the reservation, you just don't know how to hold the reservation. And that's really the most important part of the reservation, the holding. Anybody can just take
it. I miss this show. Anyway, that's not the moral hazard part. This is.
Well, we have a blue Ford Escort for you, Mr. Seinfeld. Would you like insurance?
Yeah, you better give me the insurance because I am going to beat the hell out of this one.
The idea of moral hazard is when someone behaves differently, is less careful, because they know that the consequences of their action are going to be insured. They're not going to bear the cost themselves.
Tom Baker is a law professor at the University of Pennsylvania and kind of a moral hazard historian. The term really gained traction in the 19th century. That's when fire insurance companies didn't want to insure the type of person who leaves the kerosene lamp on at home when they head to the tavern.
It was in sort of character underwriting and then in their mantra of never again through loss.
Never again through loss. That was the moral in moral hazard. But in modern economics, the phrase is more about how all types of insurance create perverse incentives. Got good health insurance? Sure, doc, give me all the tests you got. Got good car insurance on that jalopy? Maybe you don't double check you lock the doors. Or if you're Silicon Valley Bank?
The bank may have made the wager that because the federal government did cover uninsured deposits in 2008, that it might do so again. And it was right. It was right.
Patricia McCoy is a law professor at Boston College. She says it's unlikely the execs at Silicon Valley Bank literally said out loud, "The feds will rescue us, so let's not worry about all those problematic treasuries on our books." But maybe they felt a little less worried because of what the feds did in 2008 and then again during the pandemic.
The federal government has said, "Read my lips, no more bailouts," too many times. It's simply not believable.
So when push comes to shove and a bank with $175 billion in deposits with deep ties to tech gets wobbly, everyone kind of expects the feds will do something. There has been pain. SVB shareholders and bondholders lost their shirts. And SVB execs? Well, let's just say they're not going to introduce themselves at cocktail parties as former SVB execs. But the FDIC did cover all those startups who kept money above that $250,000 insurance cap. Warning, more moral hazard ahead.
It sends a terrible signal long term.
Arthur Wilmarth is a law professor at George Washington University.
Because it's crazy then, people will now absolutely believe that all deposits are protected.
But if the FDIC didn't send that message, well, maybe everyone panics and withdraws their uninsured deposits from every regional bank in the country, and the financial world falls apart again. Wilmar says the real antidote to moral hazard in the banking sector is preemptive regulation, preventing the banks from taking bad risks in the first place. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.